All right, and thank you, Jody. And thank you, Patty, for those songs. I'm going to have a little swig of water here because I shouted to the Lord. Okay. And thank you, Wanda, for placing that there. We're going to enter in to the Lord's presence. And so if you will, pray with me. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to come into your house on a Wednesday night. I thank you, Father God, that we can gather together in one like mind. And I thank you, Father God, that our ears are open to what you have us to hear tonight. Father, just use me. I empty out Deborah, and I say, just fill me up with the Holy Spirit, because I cannot do this without you. I wouldn't want to do it without you. For it is you, Father God, that wants to bring forth this word, your good word, to give us aid and give us help. And I thank you, Father. We just worship you, and we give you all the glory for every good thing that you're doing. In Christ's name, amen. And I had told Jody earlier, joy versus happiness, but I kind of changed it. And but it's choose joy. It's choose joy. And did you know that joy is a gift? Did you know that gift is placed in you before you were born? It is present inside each and every one of you right now. It is a gift from God. It is available, and it is a reservoir of potential. It is endless and boundless, and it is available to those who trust in Christ Jesus. Now, I say that with this, because as Christians, we know about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we know that it is through the Holy Spirit the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit come. In Galatians 5:22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's self-control. And all of these things are not limited. They are not limited by the law, which means that there are no restrictions, and they're not limited to our explanation of them. The Spirit reveals them to us and gives them to us. As Jody has been teaching on, we are a spirit as Christians first. Then we have a soul, that's our will, our mind, our emotions. And then we are in human form in this body. Before we were Christians, we operated in a realm of our emotions. We operated in a realm of happiness or sadness. And it was pretty much relevant to what was going on around us. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. And joy is a gift that comes to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Joy is a transformation of the Spirit. It can transform the difficult, trying, hard places into one of gratitude and blessings and add meaning to life. Joy can overcome anything in the world of despair because there is hope. But you must choose and take possession of the deliverance. In Psalm 30:11, you turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and you clothed me with joy. In this passage, the psalmist is talking about that when we come to the Lord in submission and prayer and repentance, there's a wailing, there's a heaviness, there's a part of us that has been burdened down. There's something that's stealing our joy, literally. And when we give that to the Lord comes in and He removes that from us. He removes the tempter from us by forgiving our sins and putting His pardon, His love, His favor on us. And that's what He wants to lavish us with. That's why it says we're clothed with joy. Because you know what? If you're hurting, And there's something that's going on that you can't quite lay your hands on, and someone comes along and gives you aid for something you didn't even know you needed, Oh my goodness, the joy that just overwhelms you. And that's how God wants us to be. He wants us to know that His joy is present in us and we can have it at any time. But it comes through a choice, and it comes through the power of Holy Spirit. We cannot grab it. We cannot buy it in the world. We cannot get it from any outward things. It has to begin in here. And God is our foundation for that joy. He settles us and revives us. He revives our soul with His love. And He gives us that peace. Christ reminds us in John 16:33, and I'm going to give you two different versions. One is the Amplified version, and then the next will be from the Phillips. I have told you these things so that in me, in my presence, you may have perfect peace. In the world, you will have tribulation and distress, and you will have suffering, but be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, filled with joy. I have overcome the world, my conquest accomplished, my victory abiding. That is an awesome, awesome translation about what Jesus has done for us. Now, the tribulations, the despair, the trials that we go through, Jesus is telling us that I've already overcome that. And so what I've left with you is the Holy Spirit, and one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. So I've left that with you. Now, I really like how the Phillips translation puts this. Again, that's John 16 and 33. Jesus said, "So you believe me now?" I mean, could you see Jesus saying that? "So you believe me now?" The word "believe" here is critical. We must choose to believe that we have a gift from God called joy, and that God wants us to have it. Jesus goes back to say, "The time is coming indeed, it has already come, when you will be scattered, every one of you, going home and leaving me alone. Yet I am not really alone, for the Father is with me. I have told you all of this so you may find peace in me. You will find trouble in the world, but never lose heart. I have conquered the world." I love that version because the way that it makes us look at it, that Jesus is asking, "So now you believe me? So if you believe me, understand that you're going to face tribulations, but in my presence, you can have that joy because I have overcome everything that you're going through." How awesome is this? Jesus was not alone, for he had confident trust in the Father. He did the Father's will, even though the situation that he was faced with in order to overcome the world was death on the cross. That's not a happy thought. That does not bring a grandeur of, oh, this is going to be, you know, a good time. But joy was a choice, and it is our choice. So what are we choosing today? Are we choosing the way of God's presence, or are we choosing our happiness from what the world can give? There's two differences. Our world offers so many promises of happiness. And yes, God delights in us, and He wants us to enjoy life. John 10:10, Jesus tells us that there is a thief, and he comes to destroy us, he comes to kill us, and he comes to steal from us. So that means he's coming to steal your joy whenever he can. And in the midst of grief, in those times when things are so hard and the trials are so hard and we can't even see a way up, God confirms to us through the power of Holy Spirit that I am with you. I am with you with goodness. I am with you in patience. I will help you with this. I will give you joy. My love is with you. My peace is with you. And that is something that the world tries to find. They try to find this in comfort. And we all can get happy on, you know, from the things of the world. I know that if I need a cup of coffee, I can get really happy quickly when I, receive that. But that's going to be temporal. It's not going to last. And you know, as I think of Christ on the cross and what he went through for us, and that it was not a happy time. Matter of fact, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, it said he sweated great drops of blood. And why would you think that was? Have we not all suffered anguish? And we can kind of relate to that on how joy was the last thing, happiness was the last thing that we were thinking. But as Christ was praying out to God, he did one thing. He gave it up to God. He trusted the Father that the Father was not going to leave him, and that the focus on where he was going and what was ahead was greater than what he was facing. But he was not even concerned with what he was facing, because it was the will of the Father. And he trusted that the will of the Father was going to bring joy and bring victory. And you know to who it was to bring the victory? It's you and I. It's those that even have not accepted him now. It is for you that he died as well. We're not made perfect by always, you know, keeping a happy face. That, you know, but the world will look at that and say, oh, they've got it all together. They're happy. They're perfected. But it is the perfection that Christ did on the cross that gives us that joy and is redeeming us and redeeming us in God's love, that gives us the power to have the Holy Spirit to seek that and to use it to lift us. Happiness is an elation of something that is happening at the moment. And it can bring a smile, and it can bring us glee, but it is temporal. The happiness that we have when we think of Christ and what he's done for us, and the good things that God does for us, that makes us happy too. But it is situated and founded in something much more deeper than just a temporal emotion. The happiness can also seem larger than life, but that happiness can be very fickle, and it can change in an instant if it's not rooted. Our true foundation is found in God's Spirit, in Holy Spirit, and joy is ever present. Happiness is temporal, and it's subject to situations. It cannot be present in dark places or sadness, fear, anger, or even unhappiness. How many of us have tried to be real happy, you know, when we're not happy? And, you know, there we can try to hold ourselves up, but God did not intend us to be a savior. And he knows that we're going to grieve. So he even told us, he said, grieve with those that are grieving, mourn with those that are mourning. But we are supposed to bring that presence, that grounding of joy everywhere we go, something to be uplifting, something to change that atmosphere of grief. Because we know that grief that is situated in destroying us, which comes from the devil, is out to steal all of that joy. And so we have to combat that. So God will place us in places with others, as he tells us to mourn with those who mourn and grieve with those who grieve. But he also tells us to be happy. So we know that he wants that for us, and we have that. We have the ability to do it. The emotion of happiness has to be guided to the truth of Holy Spirit and his gift. Just as fears are given way to courage, just as doubts are given away to hope, and anxiety is given away to peace, by God's Spirit, his word, and his promises that he is always with us, that joy can come. Just as Jesus' decision to take on our sins and die for us was not a happy feeling, he did it for the purpose of you and I. He did it. It was the will of the Father. The Father wanted to redeem us back to him, and the only way that could come was through the Spirit. And the only way that could come is through Jesus' death and then his resurrection. And that released the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to us. Now, I've sometimes thought if Jesus had have asked me, we might be in a bad predicament right now because I'm not certain that I could do that. But, you know, as I have looked at that way of thinking, I said, you know what? God has purposed each one of us to do what he needs us to do. So you know what? If Jesus needs me to sacrifice something, if God needs me to lay down something, if there's a loss or a disappointment or something in my life, and I know that I was trusting God through it, then I have to trust that his way is best. And I will be able to lay it down, because that's what God has promised. He has promised to give us the tools to do what we need to do. That's what it is when we say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not everything that I want to do or think I should be allowed to do or things that, you know, seem right by men, you know, but what God needs me to do. Because what God has set in purpose, he has provided for. And if we believe he can do that, like with our tithes and offerings, if we believe he can do that with salvation of eternal life, then the presence of God is essential for every single moment in everything we do. Not just categorized, but in everything. And sorrow is one of those places where we can choose joy, because God covers it. His Spirit covers it. And just as Jesus was able not to go at the cross with happiness, but to go with that true internal sense of joy, he was able to endure everything of the cross so that we may have joy. I'm sure that Mary was not happy as she stood there watching her son be hit with those cat of nine tails. Jesus' flesh being ripped. It was not a happy or, you know, time. And I know that her heart was broken, her heart of flesh broken, being a mother. But Jesus had told her that he was going away. He told the disciples that he was going away. But he also told them, I'm going to come back. And I'm also going to bring a comforter. The one that comes to be with you is going to do greater things than I do. And that's because now the Holy Spirit is available. What Jesus had, that power of the cross, that joy that Jesus had to endure the power of the cross, is there available for each one of us. So we don't have to depend on the world's happiness, even though that's, you know, we're all like seeking to be happy. We do want to be happy, and God wants us to be happy. He delights in us. He sings over us. He wants us to dance and to have joy. That makes for happiness to me. So he wants us to have that. But, you know, those are internal things, because even when we don't have music, like Patty, she gets up here, and we don't have the music that Patty has in her head, but we can join in the Spirit, and we can sing after her and follow after her. That's the way of God. That's the way of his Spirit. That's the way of true joy, because we can all be lifted. We can all sing. We can all be risen up in our spirit. So as Mary was not happy, and I'm sure the followers were not happy knowing that Jesus was going away, Jesus let them know, he reassured them that he was coming back, and the one that was going to be left with them was going to be the comforter. That's the message he brought, was the comforter will be with you. It is God's presence. When Jesus came back, there was a woman. I can't remember if it was the woman in at the tomb. But he said, I am the resurrection, the way, and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they may die. Or whoever lives by believing in me will never die. He said, do you believe this? This is where faith comes in. This is where faith in the power of Holy Spirit, trusting God, trusting in his promises, overcomes the sorrow, overcomes the disappointments, those wailing prayers that we do, that joy comes in through the presence of God. In the things of the world, like I said, they can bring you happy emotions. And God is excited about us being happy. There's a Proverbs, and people here joke with me about it. But anyway, Proverbs 17 and 22, a cheerful heart is good medicine. Or as Deborah said, it's good to be a cheerful giver because God loves a cheerful giver, and we can laugh. And, you know, but you know what? God wants us to explore the scriptures. I'm not really going over them. I'm just enlightening you. And you know, when you are cheerful, you want to give. So there we have it. But anyway, it is good like a medicine. Whenever we laugh, it does. It draws from inward. And whenever we laugh, it changes the way our face is lifted. It changes the way we look at ourselves in the mirror. Because I'm telling you, when we're really downtrodden, I know that's a sad face in the mirror. Believe me. And God is looking at us. And in His eyes, He sees us through the eyes of Jesus. And He says, I've given you joy. But we cloud it. We cloud it. And we look at everything that's coming down on us, and we just press down His presence because we're looking at the sorrow and not looking at the gift He wants to give us. And then we can have a habit of going to happiness in the world. And sometimes that can cause the grief that we're going through to be even greater because now we've searched for something that is temporal and it too is going to be lost. And we're not going to know how we got there or what happened. It can hit us suddenly. Just as the emotion of happiness can come quickly, it can go away. But a cheerful heart in Christ does take joy. And we take joy in knowing that our life in Christ is eternal. It's not just for right here, but that He died for us to have that abundant life. It's not dependent or subject to conditions. Remember, the fruits of the Spirit are not subject to the law or limited to our understanding. So they're always going to be available no matter how you feel. We have love. We have the love of God. It will never, ever change. He loves us with a love that we cannot even fathom. We also have that peace. And that peace is resting in Him, knowing that He's got us. Whatever it is we're going through, He has got us. And that confidence can give us joy. And we also have the ability to be patient as we wait on Him to turn those circumstances around. We can know confidently that He's going to turn them around. Because God is a good God, and He has goodness for us. And He has given us the ability to walk His way, walk His path in self-control. As many of you know this, I am widowed almost 12 years ago. It's coming up in June. And I prayed to God to let my husband live. And I often talked to him when he was going through some sickness, and it was kind of quick. But when he was going through it, I said, Steve, just please cry out to Jesus. Just cry out to Jesus. No matter what in your pain and anything that you're going on, just cry out to Jesus because it's Jesus that's going to save you. And there was one precious time that my husband said to me, he said, I thank my God. And then he stopped and he said, no, I thank my Jesus. Not only just God, because I'm telling you, there are little gods in this world who are biding for your soul and your spirit. But Jesus, through Jesus' life and death and resurrection, Holy Spirit came. And that is the true spirit of love and joy and peace and all of that. That's what we have inside of us. So my husband, he said, I thank my Jesus for you. And that meant everything to me because I knew that he had accepted Christ. And so that stayed with me. We went through a very short illness, but I believed that I was not going to be a widow. I believed that God was not going to, that he had healed him. And I even had proof. We had some reports that came back that were positive. So I was like, praise God, I know that he is healed. And so I had that confidence and joy that everything was going to be all right. My husband was saved. He would be with Christ no matter, you know, how the situation went. But inside, I was yearning for him to stay with me because we had things that we were going to do. I had goals and I had prayers and things that went up. He was getting ready to retire. And so there were things and places that we were going to go. But I steadfastly prayed. And through the power of Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues is one of those gifts. And so God was coming through me, the Spirit, speaking. Because when we speak out the Word of God, when we pray, it's also going in our ear gate. Okay? When we look upon the Word of God, it's going into our eye gate. It's giving us focus, and it's changing and shifting things that we may not even know are being shifted. So at that time, as I'm praying, I got an unction in my spirit that he was going to go. But I stayed steadfast, and I believed that God was healing him. Well, as it be, I got a phone call. My husband ended up in ICU. He actually did code on me, and he was taken to ICU. We had an opportunity in the ICU, and the reason I'm telling you this is because in your grief, in your pain, in your lowest moment, you still, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, have the power of Holy Spirit to be a testimony and a witness. You still can bring some light to a situation for another person. And in that ICU room, of course, he was unconscious and they had him hooked up to a lot of things, but my sons and I went into his room and stood by his bed and we told him all of the accolades that we had about him. We let him know and let God know how grateful and thankful we were for him and what he meant to us. And then at the end, we gave him permission to go. And Pastor spoke on this Sunday. And when I tell you that I've been working on this, trying to work on this, and I've had the hardest 5 weeks or however long it's been since my last teaching of speaking on joy, I have walked the road of not being like happy, that God centers you. He is a foundation that cannot be shaken if you stay in his presence. So in that ICU room, we released him. And that afternoon, I got good reports that he was doing better. And so I'm just like, yes, God, come on, show your glory. Show your glory. You're doing this. And so he was getting better. And then some doctors came in and they said, well, we don't know what we're looking at in this x-ray, but we're going to go in and just shoot it with some chemo anyway. And so I'm going to need you to go home and get some rest since you've been here, like I was there 36 or 42 hours. Since you have been up this long, we're going to need your approval and we're going to need you in all of this. So we need you to be alert. So they sent me home. I went home with my sister and to her house. It was closer by. And I got awakened at about 5 o'clock in the morning. And they said, Miss Williams, are you, you know, going to come in this morning? And I said, certainly will. They said, be there around 7. They said, well, you might want to come on in. That unction hit me in my stomach. And I knew that I knew that I knew. And so I got up from my bed. This is nothing but the power of Holy Spirit. Because my human body did not know what legs were, what arms were, what getting up was. And I walked into the bathroom and I looked into the mirror and I had a vision. And the vision was just this beautiful white light. And in that vision, I also saw my husband come forth. And I looked at God trembling because that's what I saw in my spirit, because the power of the Holy Spirit. Not some mystical thing I had drawn up, not some Ouija board, not some chime, not some wishful thinking. This was a true stillness because my body was limp in knowing what I knew I was going to hear. and in being in that presence. But I took and in the presence of God, and I promise you, it had to be Holy Spirit led. In that presence of God, God spoke to me and said, Deborah, my grace is sufficient for you. And it has been. I told God, I'm standing before you. I'm so shriveled up. I don't even know if you can put me back together. But I'm going to raise my hands and I'm going to praise you in the storm anyway. And that's what I did. I am standing here today because I raised my hands and I accepted the joy that the Lord, only the Lord could give, not outside circumstances. Because I've made some big mistakes on trying to replace the happiness. Because I was happy when I was married. So if you do have a spouse, you love on that spouse. And you ask God to give you ways to love that spouse even better. Because things in your life change in an instant. And that's why I'm saying you cannot put your happiness on things of the world. Because they can shatter and fall apart. Even our relationships with God and people. God said that we are born and we are going to die. That means there's going to be death of some kind in our lifetime. Christ told us in this world we have tribulation, but cheer up. He has overcome it. How can we cheer up in the midst of feeling like everything is a disappointment and everything's been devastated? We can cheer up because of the goodness of who God is. We can cheer up because His love is not a love that is conditional on something we need to do other than to believe. Jesus said, do you believe? Do you believe? And let me tell you, He also said that the thief is going to come to steal, kill, and destroy. There's something about grief that can kill and steal and destroy everything in our life. When I was going through the grief period, I went through what was called good grief. And that meant that there is a way in the presence of God, in getting in the Word of God, in His presence. And you don't have to say things. You may not even know what you're saying, but just the utterance of your wailing prayer. God is there. And He says, I give you joy. And He can settle you. And in that can come the presence of growth and hope and restart. The scripture says, weeping, though weeping may come in the night, joy comes in the morning. That's Psalm 30 and 5. It is the assurance and the promise that the traumas and the disappointments of life will end. And during the seasons, we can still have the power of Holy Spirit to rejoice and to enjoy God's presence and accept the blessings of happiness, the blessings of favor, the blessings of relationships in the midst of the storm. Don't let the devil steal from you by not finding a source of happiness, because you need it. When we are overpowered and we feel no joy, and look at what's going on in the world. Everybody is disappointed and they're in despair. And there's so much hate. We know that's not of God. Amen. Because God is of hate. I mean, God is of love. He's not of hate. And He rebukes that devourer of hate for our sake. Amen. And so that in itself can give us comfort and joy, knowing that He is here for us. And also His promise of coming back again. God wants us to enjoy the blessings that He has for us and the favor. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to laugh. He wants us to dance. But we have to choose to do it. Joy is the connections of life, and it can bloom happiness. Happiness in the world is fleeting. It doesn't mean that being in the world that we can't have happiness, but it means if our dependence or our structure is on the world is decaying. But cheer up, choose Christ, and choose joy. Psalm 16:11 And the Amplified says, "You will show me the path of life in your presence, in the fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures evermore." Put your constance, put your happiness that you want on the outside, put it into the joy of knowing Christ Jesus. Put it into the comfort of Holy Spirit in that peace and love. And just watch God overwhelm you. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Praise to God. All right. Well, that was our message tonight. Thank you, Deborah. In the Holy Spirit. It's funny. But anyway, I had to have a laugh. You know, I want the messages like Bonnie gives. She's so funny, and she just makes us all laugh. And every time, when I started on this message, I was thinking all these good things on laughter and everything, and I was just like, this is going to be so good. I'm going to give all the reasons for joy. And you know when God changed it? Pastor's message. And I went, I didn't really hear that. I really didn't hear that. And I kept trying not to hear it. But you know what, Pastor? We have to be obedient. And you told us to draw. And when we draw because God has something to say through us. Not what we think, but what He needs to say. So I hope it blessed someone tonight. We hope you join us again on Sunday morning. We will be here at 10:30. And we're just going to follow out with prayer. Father God, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your joy that has overcome the world by the power of the cross. Father, we thank you that this week we will have the happiness that you want to give us by reflecting and staying in your presence, Father. Looking at your creation, all the good things that you have with an attitude of gratitude. And Father, we're just going to begin right now. We thank you for all your goodness. Thank you for everything that you do for us. Thank you for who you are. And thank you that you are ever present in us. We give you all the praise and glory in Christ's name. Amen.